Welcome to Under Lock and Key, news and commentary about prisons from the Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League and the Maoist Internationalist Movement. Healthcare in prisons is neither healthy nor care. The U.S. incarcerates a greater percentage of its population than any other country, sending more black men to prison than college. The purpose of this program is to educate about and inspire activism against the American lockdown. This is a letter from a prisoner at the TAMS Supermax in the state of Illinois. We need some serious assistance with the administration of TAMS Corruption Center on various issues such as medical, transfer procedures, grievances, and continued placements in such infamous concentration camps. I and others on the wing with me have experienced deliberate malfeasance in the TAMS healthcare unit. I've had abdominal problems since 1998, when I first started requesting to see a doctor about the problem. I was compliant with all procedures and medications that were prescribed, and my medical records would clearly substantiate my position. After being so compliant, I finally realized that the medical staff and doctors had prescribed every medication based on an assumption and not a thorough medical checkup to see what the problem is. They ask asinine questions, then tell you to drink a lot of water and you should feel better. If you're working out, they tell you that you're working out too much. If you're not working out, they tell you to work out and you should feel better. It's always some hypocrisy to avoid a thorough checkup, which would lead them to giving us the proper medications. On assumption alone, they have prescribed many medications for my medical situation. First Maalox, which didn't work, then antacid tablets, which didn't work, then Tagamet, which not only didn't work, but made my medical concerns worse. Acknowledging this, I immediately stopped taking this Tagamet medication and clearly stated my reasoning to the pseudo-doctors and nurses. I filed grievances, complaints, and etc., and all went unanswered, just as my sick call request is being denied because they are calling me non-compliant for not taking medication that proved harmful to me and did not address the condition that they didn't even bother to examine fully. After my sick calls were denied, I filed more grievances, which have gone unanswered. They lie and say, "We never got them." This treatment compelled me to hunger strike for 10 days to compel the healthcare unit to give me a thorough medical checkup. Needless to say, they still haven't done so, and my abdominal pains are continuing right up to this day, while the healthcare unit continues to refuse to call me in or answer my request slips. It is clear to me that the prisoncrats of Illinois have deliberately deceived society with a steady diet of hypocrisy, but one can only deceive for so long. I sincerely hope that this brings some life into a movement against this corrupt administration and shows what really goes on here behind the deceiving walls of TAMS Corruption Center. That was a letter from an Illinois prisoner. This next piece is from a CD entitled Voices of the Drug War.
This is Nancy again. I have one last incident that happened to me personally with our fine medical establishment. This was here in California. My job was in a furniture factory, and I was in the packing department. We would take quite large desks, like 72 inches by 36 inches, that are made out of press board, which is heavier than real board, and we'd have to lift them up, put them on pallets, box them up, ship them out, that sort of thing. I was working there, and at one point, I injured my back on the job. And since I had done it there, they sent me over to the medical just to, you know, report it, document that I had an on-the-job injury. And they examined me and said, yeah, there's not a whole lot you can do but rest. And it should take you about 8 weeks for your back to heal and be back to normal. They then proceeded to write me a one-day lay-in, which meant that I could have 1 day off of work. And the following day, I would be right back out on the packing floor. There's a lot of women, as in anywhere, that abuse the privilege of going to medical and getting a lay-in because they don't want to work or they can't work. But in 6 years, I've only had 2 lay-ins, once when I sliced my finger and once when I hurt my back. And they would not extend it. They wouldn't in any way cooperate with this healing process. It was fortunate for me that my boss knew me. I'd worked for him for some time, and he knew I wasn't, you know, a malingerer. And he allowed me to do light duty, and on occasion when there wasn't anything at all happening, he would allow me, send me back to the unit and make arrangements with the officer over there to allow me to go back. But You know, it's difficult from our end when we're told that, okay, this is something that will take 8 weeks to heal, but no, you can't have any time off. You cannot protect yourself from this. You must go back into the exact same environment that injured you. And we have no control over ourselves. If we wake up and you're sick, and normally you'd get up and say, hey, I can't come into work. We don't have that option. There's certain days of the week when they won't even have a medical here unless it's an emergency and they'll bring them in from somewhere. So you can only get sick on certain days of the week, and hopefully you don't get injured too bad, because you know there may be nothing you can do but work with your injuries.
The November Coalition recorded Nancy as part of a CD entitled Voices from the Drug War. The November Coalition can be contacted on the web at www.november.org. We'll hear from Nancy again later in the program. Things are not very different in Louisiana, as this letter writer reports. Indeed, we are having serious problems with the criminal injustice systems in Louisiana, just like with the disciplinary injustice system throughout the entire penal system in this country. For instance, at this correctional facility, the private security contractor, Wackenhut Corrections Corporation, in an ongoing perverted disciplinary hearing process, has been arbitrarily and capriciously issuing orders for loss of a maximum 180 days good time credit. This is what each prisoner earns for good behavior. Prisoners have been stripped of their due process right to present a suitable defense to counter prison security's practice of fabricating and falsifying disciplinary reports against prisoners. This results in the massive loss of hard-earned credit for good conduct, including other improper sanctions imposed for minor incidents. Prisoners call this a kangaroo disciplinary system of injustice. The loss of massive good time prolongs the duration of the sentence. Also, we are penalized severely for accessing the medical department for ailments, regardless of its gravity. They prosecute us for seeking medical attention as aggravated malingering. This was the letter from a prisoner in Louisiana. Likewise, as this Kansas prisoner will report, the prisoners are denied medical care and routinely risk death as a result. I am writing this for your campaign dealing with the medical situation in prisons. Personally, I don't know too much about medical policies and such, but I can tell you about the medical practices. Let me tell you what I witnessed August 10th of the year 2000. Approximately around 2:45 in the morning, I heard an inmate yelling at the sergeant and another correctional officer for help. He was complaining that he was really dizzy and had groin and chest pains that were real severe. Both officers just sat around doing nothing to help the inmate, even after he had yelled that he was laying on the floor. Around 3:25 that morning, a nurse came in, and after the inmate was calling for help for 40 minutes. The nurse went up to the inmate's door and looked in his window. She asked him what was wrong, and he told her about his pains and dizziness. Without even taking his pulse or any other vitals, she told the hurt inmate to turn in a sick call slip, and she walked away. Then around 4:00 in the morning, the inmate's door slot was opened for his breakfast, and he asked for help. I could see that this inmate was lying on the floor. This officer didn't help the inmate. A little while later, a captain came in and went to talk to the inmate. I heard the inmate crying and pleading for help. The captain told the inmate that the nurse had already seen him, and now they were refusing to give the inmate medical treatment until he made a sick call later in the afternoon. After that, I heard the inmate plead for help until 5:30 in the morning, when he suddenly became quiet. About 3 hours later, around 9:00 in the morning, I watched several officers open up the inmate's cell where he was lying on the floor unconscious. I watched them carry him out on a stretcher, where he still appeared unconscious. Then they finally took him for medical help. He came back later and was ultimately all right, but it just goes to show how these prison staff don't really care about the well-being of inmates. Luckily, this inmate was only unconscious, but after seeing that, I wonder if I might find myself in a similar situation needing help, but instead of being found unconscious, I'm found dead. That was a letter from a prisoner in Kansas.
John, this is Nancy Martz again. I am going to try to have a few people talk on this subject, but I'll start out with me. Free medical in prison. Yeah, pretty good, huh? All you have to do is go over there and you're taken care of. And same way with dental. Your knees are taken care of. You don't have to pay for it. What a deal. Well, let me tell you with this, about this little reoccurring problem that I've been having. About 2 years ago, I won a crafts contest, and they have these periodically, and they gave me a little prize, and it was corn nuts. So I took my corn nuts, and I was eating them, and broke my tooth off. Now, after, a good 6 months, I got an appointment, went in there, because, yep, you broke your tooth off, huh? No kidding. All they'll do in prison is provide you with a temporary crown for your tooth. Now, these temporary crowns are generic, and he tried about three or four of them before he got one that looked like it might work, and stuck it in there. And he told me that this crown was scheduled to last for 2 weeks, top, right? Well, at this time, I've got another 8 years to do in prison, and they're giving me a crown that's going to last me 2 weeks. Doesn't sound very convenient or helpful to me, but I went ahead and took it because the alternative was constant sensitivity and pain. Sure enough, by 2 weeks, the whole bottom of the crown had worn off because it's such thin metal. The metal was breaking up. It was stabbing me in the gums. My mouth was bleeding, and I eventually just pulled it off because it was just a piece of wrecked metal. A year later, I get another appointment to see him, and they said, yep, we can give you another one of those temporary crowns. We'll put you on a waiting list. About 6 months, you'll get this temporary crown if you want it. And it's like, do I want this crown? In the meantime, you know, if I eat something hot, my mouth hurts. If I eat something cold, my mouth hurts. So it's a kind of a painful situation, not like throbbing pains, but it's a sensitive tooth because it's half broken. And at this point, I've got another 7 years and 6 weeks to go. And, you know, I'm going to get a temporary crown every year and a half that'll last me 2 weeks and cause me incredible pain, or I can just wing it for the next 7 years. And that's my free medical, that's my free dental program, and that's my free dental program here in federal prison. Just makes me feel so taken care of.
That was another excerpt from Voices from the Drug War, produced by the November Coalition at www.november.org. Students organize Books for Prisoners Drive and inspire prisoners. Students at the University of Michigan worked with the Maoist Internationalist Movement and the Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League to collect books as part of the MIM Books for Prisoners program. Students on many other campuses hold similar fundraisers, collecting books and money. We invite other students to get involved in this important work. Contact us for information and materials to hold your own book drive on your campus. After receiving a book from the University of Michigan, a Colorado prisoner had this to say. I received the newspapers and the book you sent me. That book is just what I was looking for. I'm still studying and reading it, and I can't put it down. Please tell all the brothers and sisters at the University of Michigan to please stay in the struggle with us because comrades in here need them to be our voices out there, and we will be their voices in here. Me and the rest of our comrades in here are studying every day and night, even when we are on lockdown. We still find ways to get our study done in our cages. It's a letter from a prisoner in Colorado. The following report of torture behind the walls is from a Pennsylvania prisoner. Torture in Gratiford, Pennsylvania. I wish to address some matters that I think are important for MIM to know about that have been happening to me in Gratiford Prison. I was hogtied for 7 days without food and water, and medical didn't come down to see me until 24 days afterwards. I was beaten 3 times. Hogtied means that they cuff you from behind, then leg cuff you, and then they cuff the handcuffs to your leg cuffs in back of your body. Then they get a razor and cut off all my clothes and turn the air below 50 degrees. Then they left me there. I lost the use of one hand and part of one leg for life. I had surgery 2 times, but nothing worked. After I tried to look for a lawyer, I was transferred from where it happened to make it harder for me to find a lawyer. Until this day, I'm still looking for a lawyer to take my case. I am very much illiterate. I have so much evidence and not much time to file this. Now I am at SCI Greene County, where they help out by denying me showers, yard, and food, and calling me a snitch because I want the correctional officers to go to court, and also a deputy lost his job because of it. I also have razor cuts and a nightclub crack on my head. It's not just right for anyone to go through this treatment. That was a letter from a prisoner in Pennsylvania. This has been Under Lock and Key, a revolutionary anti-imperialist league and Maoist internationalist movement program about prisons. For more information, contact RAIL, P.O. Box 712, Amherst, Massachusetts, 01004, or email radio@mim.org.